Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Thank you, Brian. Awesome, yeah. Fernando Ortega, I believe, right? Yeah. Fernando? Is that right? Fernando Ortega, yeah. Yeah, we love that. Yeah. Good evening. Hey, Brian, good to see you, brother.
Amen.
What a treat you are. You're a joy, as well as all of you. A few weeks ago, I kind of began a new journey in my walk with the Lord, and I want to share it with you and encourage you to do the same thing that I think what he's doing in me that he wants to do with you. You may be farther ahead than me with this. But several weeks ago in my quiet time, I asked God, I said, Lord, do you have any guidance for me today? That's a good question to ask God. Lord, do you have any guidance for me today? And then wait. And be still. And you should have that question, if you could put that question up on the screen. I want them to see that. There you go. And he said to me, I want you to get to know the Holy Spirit better. I was surprised. I was really caught by surprise. I knew that that was God and was not just my vivid imagination. He said to me, I want you to get to know the Holy Spirit better. And so that may sound confusing to some people, because we know that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we also know that in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus said, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's not three different gods. There's one God. And that can be confusing to people. And if you ever talk to Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, you can really get confused by their refusal to believe in the Trinity of God. But we can go back to the book of Genesis and begin to see the Trinity.
Amen.
Let us make God. Let us make man in our image. So the Lord our God is one Lord. There's only one God. You got to really get that settled in your heart. Okay. Now, for example, there's only one Gary, or there's only one Pam, there's only one Brian. But there are many different roles. Now, right now I'm in the role of pastor, teacher. The times I'm in the role of husband. There are times I'm in the role of a father, the role of a grandfather, or the role of a friend, or whatever it is. My role changes. God has three main roles. First role is God the Father. That's who God is. He's God the Father. Hi, Richard.
Sorry.
That's all right. And the Father's role is the Creator. He's the one that fathered everything. He created everything out of nothing. There was nothing that existed, and the Creator created something out of nothing. That's an awesome thought right there. And so one of the roles of God is the Creator and the Keeper. And He did this, He created to express love. Because that's who He is. We know God is love, and He created to express love. The second role of God is Jesus is God the Son. He's not only the Son of God, but He's also God the Son. It's important to understand that. Because if you have anything, anyone less than God hanging on the cross, then you can subscribe to Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness. You can say, well, Jesus is a created being. No, He's not a created being. He's the Creator. He is God in the flesh. So He's the Son of God, but at the same time, He's God the Son. And so we have to settle that. So His Son, the being the Son, is another role of God. And the role of Jesus was to be a human example for us, but also to be a kinsman redeemer. The one who hung on the cross for us had to be like us in every way, yet without sin. That's why he was born of a virgin. No, none of us have been born of a virgin. Jesus was born of a virgin. And so he's like us in every respect as human, but yet he did not have the same Adamic nature, Adam and Eve, that we have, because we come from the physical part, and Jesus had a supernatural birth, being born of God and put and conceived in the womb of a human Mary. Now, so he's our human example and a kinsman redeemer. But the third role of God is the Holy Spirit is God. He is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit is God, the Spirit of God. And he is inside people who have been born of the Spirit, or born from above, born of God. And he is to be allowed to express the love of God through our lives and express God through our lives. So, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about it. Which of the Trinity do you relate to more so than any other? Don't say all three. There's one that you probably, when you pray and you talk to God, you probably address one more than the other. Which one? I just want to hear some answers. Jesus, you do? Jesus, okay. The Father, okay. Anybody else? Holy Spirit? Okay. I never thought about this until God asked me that question. I want you to get to know the Holy Spirit better. I would just usually say Heavenly Father or talk to God, and I'd thank him for Jesus. And sometimes I'd talk to Jesus, and sometimes I'd talk to the Holy Spirit. But God specifically said to me, I want you to get to know the Holy Spirit better, implying that I don't know him very well. So the one I would probably relate to, probably more than any other, would be Jesus as a human, and the Son of God, and then somewhat to the Father. And the Holy Spirit was there, but I mean, I just never really would talk directly to the Holy Spirit.
I believe
Do you?
The Spirit is in us.
Yeah.
And I talk to the Spirit all the time.
Thank well, you're ahead of me. You're ahead of me. That's awesome, Richard. That's wonderful. And so different people for different reasons relate to one role of God more than the other. If you didn't have a very good earthly father, it's likely that you don't relate to God the Father that well. Sometimes that's the way people are. So even though God is one, there are specific roles that God works through to help us. For example, who specifically of the Trinity should you ask to help you if you want to learn to pray? The Holy Spirit? Okay, that's a good answer, because that's biblically correct. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and following, we see on the screen, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit is he's a person, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So if you want to learn how to pray and have a better prayer life, you should talk to the Holy Spirit. That's what his role is, to help us to know how to pray, because we don't know how to pray. How come we don't know how to pray? We don't see everything like God sees. We don't know the future. The Holy Spirit will reveal the future to us. And so there's all kinds of things. So if I need help in learning how to pray, I should ask, Holy Spirit, will you teach me how to pray? How to deepen my prayer life? Now let me ask you another question. If you want God's help in better understanding of the Scriptures, which of the Trinity's role would you ask to help you in understanding the Scriptures? Holy Spirit again. Why? He lives in us. Yeah. Who wrote the Bible? Jesus didn't write anything. The Father didn't write anything. Who wrote the Scriptures? Holy Spirit. Okay. If I read someone's book and I'm fascinated with their book, and I have some questions about it, who would be the best person to ask about that book? I'd go to Dennis because he knows everything, or go to Quentin and he knows everything. But it'd be better to ask the author. What does this mean? What did you mean by this? Can you help me understand this? Yes. And the author of the scriptures is God, but he did not write the scriptures in the role of the Father. The Holy Spirit wrote those scriptures through people. God the Father did write something. He wrote, as scripture says, with his finger, the Ten Commandments on stone. So he did write. But Jesus, we don't have anything that says that he wrote anything.
Okay.
Except in the sand. That's right. You remember. That's good. You got me. That's good. You got me. Very good. So the Holy Spirit wrote scriptures using human beings. That's amazing to me. Peter wrote that it was he and James and John that were personal eyewitnesses of the transfiguration of Jesus. Now that had to be an awesome encounter, seeing Jesus glorified before your eyes and hearing the audible voice of God say, and everybody heard him say, "This is my son. Hear him." And so they were eyewitnesses. They all heard the voice. They all were eyewitnesses there. And so you would think that's probably the most incredible encounter a human being could ever have. But look what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "We've not followed cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." It's not something we just made up. "We were eyewitnesses of his majestic glory. But we have a more reliable word of prophecy, which you should pay close attention to. First of all, know this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own private interpretation or the product of human initiative. It comes when men and women are moved to speak or to write by the Holy Spirit." So the Bible is inspired by God. When people say it's just written by a bunch of men, well, that's true. It is written, but they were inspired. Well, how do you know that? How do you know the Bible is the Word of God and that God told them what to write? If you haven't had that encounter with somebody yet, you're going to be challenged one day. Why do you believe that book is the Word of God? Why don't you believe the Quran? Why don't you believe the books of Mormon? Why don't you believe Watchtower? How do you know? You're going to be challenged. Well, notice what Scripture is called. It's a word of prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is declaring something before it takes place and then it being validated that it's true. If it's false, you can prove it's false because it didn't come true. The Bible is the Word of God, and we know it's the Word of God because it's prophetic. It tells us ahead of time things that are going to happen in detail, and they come to pass. All the Old Testament is prophetic about what was going to come, what's coming, what is coming. The Messiah is coming. The seed of God is coming. The redemption of God is coming. And in specific detail, the Old Testament prophets told us where Jesus was going to be born, how he was going to die, where he was going to die, in great detail.
Yeah.
And in Psalms, it quoted exactly what he said on the cross. Jesus was quoting Psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken?" I mean, in great specific detail. Mathematically, it is impossible for man to come up with anything like the prophetic accuracy of the Bible.
Right.
It is absolutely mathematically impossible. It would be like this. If I were to say to you, I'm a prophet, I know what's going to happen tomorrow, test me on this. Tomorrow at exactly 2:15, a dark cloud is going to come over your house, and it is going to rain for 15 minutes and 30 seconds on your house. And then it's going to stop, and then that cloud's going to disappear. Well, you could check that out pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow at 2:15, you go outside and look, there's a cloud. What if it happened? 2:15, 30 seconds, it starts to downpour. And it's over when I said it was going to be over. And then it moves on. You come back astounded and say, Brother Gary, you're a prophet. That happened exactly like you told me. You'd be astounded because I knew such detail. The Bible is more accurate than that. The details of Christ's birth, his death, his resurrection, and the prophecy of what happened and what's going to happen yet in the future. Not all the prophecies have come to pass yet, because we're not done yet. But this book is a prophetic book. And he says, Peter says, you better pay attention to that. As glorious as our encounter was on the Mount of Transfiguration and seeing Jesus and hearing the audible voice of God, we tell you there's something more reliable than that. It's the Word of God, the written Word of God. It's a prophetic book. So, the Word of God always trumps anyone's experience. Always. And we as the church have to make sure we understand that and stand in agreement with God. God's Word, written Word, always trumps anyone's experience. I don't care what they tell you. I've seen angels. I've seen demons. I had this encounter. I came out of my body. I went to heaven. And that may be very true. But nothing trumps the written Word of God.
That's right.
Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the author.
That's right.
We don't know who the author of your experience is. But we know who the author of the Bible is.
Amen.
So that's why this is the first word and the final word in all matters of what we believe. And you're safe when you believe that. If you doubt that, you're not safe. You're ready to be deceived. And there'll be many in the last days that will be deceived simply because they don't know this. And they'll see many counterfeit signs and wonders of the Antichrist. Miracles, signs, and wonders that will astound the world and get the world's attention. And many will be deceived and fall away because they don't know this. So when Jesus was about to leave the earth and ascend to heaven, he told the disciples, I'm about to leave. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you there myself. I'll receive you unto myself. Now think about that. That had to be really troubling to them, because they didn't know what we know today. So the disciples, all they knew for the past 3 years of their life that had been a radical change was they had been with Jesus for 3.5 years, day in and day out. They ate with him. They slept in the same ground with him, or wherever they were. Wherever he went, they went. They ate the same food and all that. So for 3 years, they've had a radical transformation, but they've always had him with them. They can't imagine life in the future without his presence. What are we going to do? This is all we've known. You've been with us, and every day you've taught us, and we've watched your miracle signs. And we can't imagine you not being with us. So you can imagine they were troubled. What do you mean you're leaving? You can't leave us. Don't leave us. And Jesus said, I'm going to leave you. But then here's what he said, John 14. But I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Everybody say, another comforter. That he, H-E, a person, not it, but he may abide with you forever. That is the Spirit of Truth. So the Holy Spirit, another name for Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Truth. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of Truth in you. So you recognize truth when you hear it. You also recognize what's false when you hear it, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, so you won't be deceived. Now that word another means this: one just like me. Jesus is saying, I'm going away, but don't be troubled, because the Father's going to send one just like me. There's no difference. The Holy Spirit is just like me in every way, except you can't see him. But he is just like me. Everything you see me do, and the way I act, the way I talk, the way I deal with people, the way I do things, he does it the same way. Y'all just pause right now and thank God. He didn't give you a less than Jesus. He gave you the Holy Spirit the same as Amen. Jesus. Amen. Exactly the same. The same Spirit that was in Jesus is now in those who are born again. You have the same Spirit. Not a junior Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. And look at what he said in John 16. In John 16, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient, or to your advantage, that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter," Holy Spirit's called the Comforter, "he won't come to you." He can't come if I'm still here. You're sad about me leaving, but it's to your advantage that I go away. Because when he comes, he will guide you into all truth the way I have for the last 3 years. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that will he speak. And he will show you things to come. He'll show you things to come. And he'll glorify me. He will receive of mine and show it unto you. Mm-hmm. What was Jesus? What was his when he said, "You'll receive of mine"? Everything. It was the Father's good pleasure to give Jesus the kingdom. Everything. In the upper universe that we need down here comes down by the authority of Jesus. Jesus was given everything. The Father didn't withhold anything from Jesus. And Jesus said, "Now the Holy Spirit will take of what belongs to me and he'll show it to you so you can use it. So you can do your ministry here." Are you understanding?
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit lives inside our bodies. We don't hear Jesus, and we don't feel Jesus. We don't see Jesus in a human body. Jesus' human body is in heaven. His human body is in heaven. Remember when he was resurrected, he told the disciples, "Look me, handle me, touch me, see, I'm flesh and bone." He didn't say flesh and blood. He said flesh and bone. All his blood was poured out upon the cross for us. And so now, we don't receive Jesus. Technically, we say, "Jesus, come into my heart." Technically, we don't receive Jesus. We receive the Holy Spirit. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Let's read it together. "Do you not know?" Now, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let's read it together, all together. "Do you not know
that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?"
That's a question. Do you know that?
Yeah.
If you don't, you need to know that. You need to receive Jesus and know that the Holy Spirit lives inside you. He's on the inside. When we pray, many times we're praying, "Oh God," and that's not necessarily wrong, "look up," and so forth like that. But you really, the Holy Spirit is right here. Some say when you bow your head, you're looking down toward him. He's right here. He's inside you. Now, think about that. The Holy Spirit, this was a whole new experience. A God you can't see, necessarily feel, or touch. lives inside your human body. He doesn't come and go. He lives there. Who knew more about the Holy Spirit than anybody else as far as a human? Well, besides Jesus, the Apostle Paul. That's correct. Why? Why did Paul know more about the Holy Spirit than the disciples who walked with Jesus? Why did this Apostle Paul know more about the Holy Spirit than the disciples? It was essential. He didn't have Jesus walking with him. They did. But Paul knew more about the Holy Spirit than the disciples. Even though Jesus told them John 14, 15, 16, 17, they still did not have the experience of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul knew more and wrote more about the Holy Spirit than anybody. After the stoning of Stephen, remember the Apostle Paul was there. He saw. He was very anti-Christ. He was anti this called the Way, the cult called the Way, which was Christianity at its early stages. And before Paul's conversion, he was a great persecutor of the church, and he stood there and watched Stephen being stoned to death. In Acts chapter 3, 8, verse 3, it says, he, Paul, began to destroy the church by going house to house and dragging off men and women to prison. Violent hatred. On the Damascus road, he encountered a blinding light and heard a voice. Who are you, Lord? He says, Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. So Paul heard an audible voice of God. He was blinded by a light. Now let me ask you a question. Did he see the resurrected Lord? Did he see Jesus resurrected? First Corinthians 15:8 says he did. You have to read it later, but 1 Corinthians 15:8, Paul says he did. So possibly, was it he saw Jesus glorified and the light was so brilliant that it blinded him? I don't know. It's not real clear. But 1 Corinthians 15:8 says he did see the resurrected Jesus. He's blinded by this light. And this brought about an instant and a radical transformation in this man's life. One moment, he's taking people of the way, Christians, and dragging them off and putting them in prison with a violent hatred. And in one moment, he's radically changed. He's blinded. He's humbled. He's led to a house on Straight Street. A few days later, a man by the name of Ananias, who represents a type of the Holy Spirit. Ananias' name means God has been gracious to you. God sends a man whose name means God has been gracious to you. I didn't kill you. I could have. And so this Ananias is a type of the Holy Spirit. He comes to Paul. He tells Paul who he is. And he lays hands on Paul and restores Paul's sight miraculously. He prophesies to Paul his future. And it says he laid hands on Paul and Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. And scales fell off his eyes. He stayed there just a few days with the disciples in Damascus. That's not probably the 12 disciples, but the believers in Damascus. He stayed there a few days with them. And then it says, at some point he was led by the Holy Spirit to go into Arabia, the desert, the wilderness area, for 3 years. Yep. And this was the school of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have a preacher to teach him. He didn't have any fellowship from a church. He didn't know anything about this Jesus other than he had encountered him. He was dependent. The Holy Spirit had to teach him everything he knew. There was no physical Jesus. The Holy Spirit had to teach him everything. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He wrote more about the Holy Spirit than anybody. So for 3 years, he and the Holy Spirit were together. And he came back in great power. So this encounter that Paul had, and when he led him out into Arabia, was like this. Paul recognized the voice. I want you to get to know the Holy Spirit better.
Wow. Okay.
Same thing I heard the Holy Spirit say to me a few weeks ago. I said, okay. And it's been a journey. And it is a journey I'm sharing with you, and I hope that you'll get on the same journey and we'll go journey together. I want to get to know the Holy Spirit better.
Amen.
He's your teacher. 1 John 2:27. Scripture says this: you have the anointing. That's the Holy Spirit, the name for the Holy Spirit. You have the anointing. You've received this from Him. And then he goes on to say, you don't need any other teacher, but his anointing instructs you in all things, and he teaches you this: remain connected to him. Stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Stay connected to him. So you have this anointing, and that word anointing is the same word for Christ. Jesus Christ, that's not his last name. Christ the Anointed. It's sometimes translated Messiah. And the anointing is the same as the Holy Spirit. You have this anointing.
We need another N in anointing.
Anointing. Thank you. So, what are you going to do about this? You can go home and forget about it. Best thing I would recommend that you do is say to the Holy Spirit, I want to get to know you better. I want to get to know you better. I want to pay attention to you more. I want you to teach me. I want you to teach me how to pray. I want you to teach me how to read the Bible. I want to teach you to teach me how to fast. I want you to teach me how to walk in the Spirit. I want you to teach me how to pray in tongues. I want you to teach me how to let you lead me. I want to know you, Holy Spirit. I don't know you very well, but I want to know you better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's all stand. Thank you for your patience. And I'd like you to read aloud this last slide. May the last slide you can bring up, please. There you go. Can you bring it up on the screen? There you go. Let's all read it together. I thank you, Father, that you sent Holy Spirit to live in me forever. Holy Spirit, you are God in me now. I praise you for living in me. I ask you to help me get to know you better from this day forward. I trust you. You will answer this prayer. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He will. He will. 40 days from now, when Jesus was resurrected, he's still on the earth for 40 days before he ascended. 40 days is a transition period. Noah's Ark, 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus led into the wilderness for 40 days, was tempted of God. 40 days Jesus was on earth before he ascended. It was a transition period. They were learning. Now we don't live by the physical presence of Jesus. We must learn to live by the Holy Spirit. This is a transition time for you. You need to get to know the Holy Spirit better. He's got greater things for you than you've experienced. You need to talk to him as a person. And listen to him. Sunday we start a new adventure about prayer. Who better to help you in your prayer life than the Holy Spirit? But you got to talk to him, but you also got to listen. If you're going to have a relationship with anybody, a man, woman, any person, then you're going to have to interact with them. That means you're going to have to talk to them, but you're also going to have to listen to them. If you're doing all the talking, it's going to be very boring. But if you want to have a relationship with somebody, you talk, but then you also listen. So now, this is your assignment. Go out and improve your relationship with the Holy Spirit. He will help you.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Good night. We look forward to seeing you Sunday. Amen.
Good word.
Thank you.